Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cederstrom. And stay with us. We're live today, believe it or not. We had a few replays last week, so thank you for being patient. But we're live today. And my co-host today is Pastor Butch Paul. And it is Monday, June 21st, 2021. And we're going to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Howdy there.
Hello, Butch. Melody. Hello.
Hello.
How you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks.
And I want to thank you in public in front of everybody for the great time you showed Marsh and I last week, and we really enjoyed spending time with you. Thank you for that, Melody.
Well, you're quite welcome. It was a blast.
I really enjoyed it. That was just so much fun to be able to spend time with you. And, you know, spend a little bit. We met before, but we was always on the run to seminars. This time we got to sit down together, three of us, and have dinner and just talk about things.
Yes.
I really enjoyed that. Once you know
lovely
that.
Time. Lovely time. Lovely day for gold, too.
Oh, great.
Not a big day, but it's up $19 right now at $1,784. Silver was up 15 cents, back up over 26, 2605. Platinum was up 20 at 1,060. And palladium was up 110 at 2,660. The USDX today is down 0.46 at 91.87. You have crude oil up 192 at 73.56. And the paper markets, well, I don't even want to talk about the paper markets, but I'm really glad because I know a lot of our customers, they, you know, your retirements are in there. So, you know, I think that's wonderful. I think that's fantastic. But just be careful. The Dow was up 586 points today, 33,876. The S&P was up 58 at 4224. The NASDAQ was up 111 at 14,141. Europe was green all across the board, just up 1% on the DAX. Asia was mostly all negative except for China and the Shanghai. That was only positive by 4 points. So, not quite sure why we were so good today, but, again, they're going back to the Federal Reserve, what Powell has said. And, I can't imagine why anything else is running so hot, but, we had Bitcoin sink to a two-week low as China intensifies their crypto mining crackdown. You know, if you have those cryptocurrencies and Bitcoin, there's nothing you can do with countries, you know, like China, when they're ready to. And again, how often have I said governments will not allow Bitcoin to compete with their own currencies? It's not going to happen. So it'll be interesting to see what comes with that. So, and again, I have many, many clients who own gold, but do dabble in the cryptos. And if you're making a great profit, pull it out, guys. Pull that profit and get some gold, protect it, and then continue to ride in the cryptos. Take the profit. But no one does that, Butch. I don't know why.
Well, but it's a foundation. You build a foundation with something substantial, something of substance. You build a foundation. If you want to gamble a little bit, I guess that's fine. Go ahead. But you should have a foundation to rely on in case something does happen.
Exactly.
It's just common sense.
Mm-hmm. But Bitcoin did tumble 10%. So, but they've tumbled a lot more since their high of, what, close to 60,000. Now they're at 30,000. Yeah. So, anyway.
I've been out of touch for a week, as you know. And I was at the price of oil, almost $74 a barrel.
How about that? Yeah.
Wow, that's one of the bunch since I was gone for a week. I'm going to quit taking a week off. Look what happened. The whole place fell apart.
But you know, it was always funny is because whenever I plan a vacation, gold always rises and things always happen. You know, things always get busy. In fact, some of my customers used to say, would you please go away? So gold rises and silver. Okay.
Okay,
anyway.
You can take a hint. You can take a hint. I like that. You can take a hint.
Yeah.
But we got a lot of news cover here today, too. And I would like to just make a couple of comments here. I thought it was kind of cute that I read. And to get into serious stuff. Folks, we are unsteady is not even close to the right word. But this little statement, this guy, little guy here with glasses saying, my doctor asked if any members of my family suffer from insanity. I replied, no, we all seem to enjoy it. So there you go, Melody.
There you go.
Not nuts. We just like it that way. And here's one I thought was kind of, I thought about getting a t-shirt with this on it. My people skills are just fine. It's my tolerance to idiots that needs work. I'm sorry. Well, I thought about getting t-shirts. I thought it's kind of cute. But anyway. All right, folks. Start on the humor side. We did. But there's a lot of things coming down the pike that are not so humorous. I don't care how you look at it. I don't care what the news tries to tell you. Everything is unstable as it can get in every way possible, morally and financially, everything. It's unstable. And the pot's boiling on the stove and it's about ready to blow because you see it coming down. I mean, even people that nobody don't talk about are saying that we're spinning away into oblivion, Melody. And we are. There's no coming back.
No, yeah, I mean, they can't reverse their spending. And then when you get to this point, I mean, just like anything else, you got to continue to throw money at it just to keep it going. And but eventually, you know, something happens where, you know, they can no longer, you know, pay or service the debt. They can't service the debt. And, you know, I mean, but we don't know how long they can keep it going.
Well, they're not servicing
the
debt.
They have incredible power.
They're not servicing the debt now. They haven't for years, but they're, I think, just kind of throwing caution to the wind. Hey, we already blew it. Let's just blow it all. You know what I'm saying?
They have to pay what they owe. They do service the debt. They pay their interest.
Well,
that's all they pay. They pay no principal.
They don't pay no principal. Well, that's what I meant with service and debt. You can't really get out of debt and paying the interest. That's what I meant. No, you can't do it.
Yeah.
It's impossible.
But
they keep on giving more away. They keep printing.
They have to. I mean, they have to just to keep the system going. You know, it's just, you know, I mean, I don't like to use the drug addict as the comparison, but it really is the same. Or you can be addicted to anything.
Sure.
You need more and more and more. It could be gambling. It could be drinking. You just need more and more of that fix. And our economy is the same way. It needs more and more of that fix. It needs more and more government money in order to keep it going. And, you know, contrary to what, you know, some people believe, it's not a good thing. It doesn't help. It doesn't help people. It strips them of so many things. They might have temporary relief, but that's all it is. And, you know, anyway.
It just adds more pain when it finally does dry up. You know, it satisfies the itch for a little bit.
Government helps people at the expense of others.
That's true.
So why is that a good thing?
Obviously it's not. And this first article says it very well. Residents of more than 20 cities in the U.S., Melody, are receiving $500 a month UBI payments as popularity of Andrew Yang's proposal grows. Now, let me repeat that. Popularity of UBI is growing. Well, you know it will. People don't want to work, why not? Give it to me, baby. I'll take it all. Of course it's growing in popularity. When the people lose their integrity, that they don't want to work, they'll take anything they can for free. That's what a welfare system is all about. That's called socialism. Actually, communism. And people take it because they ruin the moral character of the people as far as work goes. That's just the way it is. But residents of cities across the country are receiving $500 per month payments as part of a no strings attached, except it's ruined the economy, experimental universal basic income program. UBI, popularized by former Democratic presidential candidate Andrew Yang, has gained more attention after the pandemic. An upstate New York pilot program, funded by private donations, is providing 100 residents making less than $46,900 a year, annually $500 a month for a year. And this is funded by private donations. If they want to do that in their own money, that's their call. The UBI advocates ultimately want the government to pay a base salary to every citizen that would help to cover costs, including food and rent. Critics of UBI programs are worried about their effectiveness and cost compared to aid programs that target funds for food, shelter, or for help raising a child. They want this to be universal for every citizen in this country, Melody, that needs help paying rent or food. What happened to food stamps? What happened to supplemental incomes? This is going to be on top of that. If we've spent trillions already and can't satisfy this gaping hole, how's $500 per month going to do it?
Well, of course it's not.
It's not. No. But it sounds good. It sounds good.
But
always
again,
sounds
good. But the problem again isn't, you know, we can say it's socialism and, you know, and it is. But the problem is that's not the answer. No one questions is where, you know, why are these people in the condition that they are? What happened to them?
That's true.
What happened? Well, you know, why? You know, it's just like we talk about so many of things happen, but we never look to why. You know, people will pick whatever their agenda might be and use that as the reasons for something is happening. But it's never usually the real reason, the truth. And we have no jobs in this country. You know, and people might think that, you know, servicing the industry is a good thing to have for an economy, but it isn't. You know, so these people don't have good jobs to go to make a decent living. And that's not going to come back either, Butch.
No, it's not. No, it's not coming back. And I know that sounds like doom and gloom, but folks, it's not doom and gloom. It's reality. I wish it were doom and gloom. I wish it were just saying this, and all of a sudden next month, Melody, everything would blossom and bloom, and we say, hey, we were wrong. But folks, we've been saying this for years. I've been preaching for 40 years. It ain't coming back. I'm so sorry to break the tea that way. But I'm 72 years old. I've been around enough long enough. I've seen enough. Even this past week, I saw things that just showed me more decay in society to the point it's not coming back. You had better protect yourself. Get out of whatever you got in paper, cash, bonds, whatever, even IRAs. Get something substantial because I promise you it's going down the tube. I was just talking, I just heard a gentleman on another talk show today. We're talking about trying to save a car. So he bought an electric car, Mildred. He thought he'd save money on gasoline. His power bill went up four times. Up four times what it was with the electric car. He's so sorry he bought that car. Because now it's costing more for power, electricity, than what he's spending on gas every month. So you're not going to come back in that way. It's just not going to happen. They're not going to let you get that far ahead.
No, not at all. So it's... the problems are never addressed. And as long as these problems aren't addressed, we're going to continue down the same path. So, the bright side of everything, that there is something that you can do.
Exactly.
The bright side is that there's many things that you can do. So that you can just sit back and weather the storm. But few people do it. They get caught up. And I'll tell you what, it is hard, when you have most of your paper investments. People are living off their paper. Look how many retirees are living off the stock market. This government can't afford to let that stock market drop.
Well, that's chaos.
Yeah, look at all the chaos. And so they will do everything that they can to keep that market going, because that's where retirees, the retirement accounts are at. They're 401s. A third of them are in bonds, treasuries. So it's, I get it. But on the other hand, it doesn't fix the problem, doesn't solve the problem, and you'll still have a problem.
That's very, very true. It's a temporary patch on a permanent problem.
Mm-hmm.
It is. And then we talk about chips, and the situation, the shortage of chips, and new cars, and everything else. Well, we knew this would happen, too. Chip shortages are starting to hit consumers. Higher prices are likely. No duh. But it says silicone chips being produced in Singapore. I get that, folks. Not in the USA. Produced in Singapore. Our needs are being met by someone else other than ourselves. And that's always dangerous. Chip makers are raising prices. They charge the brands like that make PCs and other gadgets. The global chip shortage is pushing up prices of items such as laptops and printers, and it's threatening to do the same to other top-selling devices, including smartphones. Oh, my gosh. Price increases are snowballing their way through suppliers and key materials in chip making as industry rushes to meet rising demand and plug supply holes. As a result, many of the world's large chip makers are raising prices they charge to the brands that make PCs and other gadgets. Industry officials say the increases may continue. But Melody, again, we're producing something that... No. I'm going to reword that. Something being produced that we need, and we're at the mercy of somebody else. When China makes 87% of our medicine. Singapore makes the chips for our devices. If they decide to cut us off for whatever reason, that's going to hurt us deeply, is it not?
Certainly is.
So why in the name of all this holy would we depend on a foreign entity to feed us? That's like a man depending on his neighbor to feed him. What if his neighbor doesn't like him no more? How insane is that?
I know. It just gets crazier and crazier.
And the market went up 500 points. On what? Did the Pope burp or something? What happened?
Maybe.
Unbelievable nonsense. And Congress says that the Congress is barreling towards a debt cliff. No duh. Congress is barreling towards a fight as soon as next month over raising the debt ceiling. They're wanting to raise it again. In our lifetime, how many times have they raised the debt ceiling?
Every year.
Every year. So, you see, there's really no limit to what they can do because they just raise a ceiling. There's no limit on spending. You can say whatever you want to spend. Even the Republicans don't even talk about it anymore. They just let it go. I think they're on the point of realizing they can't stop it now.
Mm.
But said they're going to, said it's going to probably be a filibuster. Said Democrats will need GOP support to raise the debt ceiling. But in the next month, this either they raise it or the government more or less just, I guess, kind of starts shutting down, which I don't think is a bad idea. But nonetheless, it's what they're saying. They're heading to the cliff, dead cliff. They're already over the cliff, folks. Into the
beach. And we're heading into the break cliff. And we'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now. Hey, does civilization seem stable to you? When 911 is busy or law enforcement decides to hide rather than protect you, don't worry. With Spike Training, you will know exactly what to do. Through a series of approximately 96 hours of video training seminars, Bo Greif, America's most decorated Green Beret commander, and his team of professional instructors brings his special forces training to your home through digital video. Delivered priority mail on a 128-gigabyte USB flash drive and 960 by 640 quality, you will receive the same instruction that Special Operations Command elite troops receive. There are no guarantees in life, but education and preparation always better your odds for survival. Go to bogreitz.us, that's bogreitz.us, or abrn.tv to arrange to receive your 12 phases of Spike training. Single phase downloads are also available on the site.
And welcome back. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for the weekly newsletter. And what's next, Butch?
Well, you don't believe this, but it's really happening. We're just talking about debt, debt cliff, and we're already over in the abyss. As pandemic subsides, businesses push Congress for one more bailout.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why not? I mean, Biden wants what? Was it $4 trillion for infrastructure?
Well, he got it down to one.
Got down to $1 trillion. Ah, well, that's nothing. Heck, give that to him. Gee. But the U.S. economy is surging back from COVID-19, but restaurants, hotels, and other industries hit hardest by the pandemic are telling Congress they still need tens of billions of dollars in new government funds to stay afloat. And I still got to say this, folks, government funds are our funds. They're not their funds. Government doesn't produce anything except headaches and heartaches. They
our
don't
money.
Produce. They print money. And that's unconstitutional. But they do it anyway. So when you say I'm going to go get government money, no, you're not. You're billing yourself. Oh, people think. Anyway, the growing list of trade associations lobbying for a new round of pandemic aid, also representing gyms, amusement parks, travel agents, and horse shows. They say they suffered massive, unrecoverable financial losses because of social distancing restrictions and still face uncertainties as the economy recovers. The plea comes even after Congress appropriated more than $1 trillion over the past year to support small employers through forgivable loans and grants. The Paycheck Protection Program alone delivered nearly $800 billion in short-term aid to 11.8 million businesses during the pandemic, with the comments divided on the extent to which it really saved jobs. We're still incredibly vulnerable, says Sean Kennedy, the National Restaurant Association's Executive Vice President of Public Affairs. But Melody, how are you going to people understand that they're just spending their own money? I mean, they're just putting themselves further in debt. And they're going to raise taxes to try to cover more debt. So we don't win in the long run. But how do you people understand that?
They don't understand it now. They never will, so.
But isn't it amazing?
It really is. It truly is.
You know, you get the bill out and you think, I just paid myself a bonus, but I'm going to pay it back. That's how it works, people.
Oh, I read.
Go ahead.
I read something that for the stimulus that people received, it's going to cost them in taxes like triple of what they got. I mean, it was just.
I don't doubt that.
It would cost them more than what they actually get. And it's like, yeah, we are. We're not real smart, are we?
No. Well, I watched our governor, Jim Justice, bless his heart. I mean, you have to see him to appreciate what I'm saying, bless his heart. But anyway, a man pretty hard to put a sentence together. Give away at least $1 million pull of a lottery kind of, if somebody got a vaccine and also state tuition for college and all kinds of things, guns and getting away all kinds of things. Because he had an excess in the with the budget last year, so he can do that. And the people are swallowing up and thinking, this is wonderful. He's given this money to people. But he's given away the money he collected from us. He didn't ask my permission. May I give away $1 million of your money or you're part of that share? He didn't ask me if I want to do that. He just did it. Every time they give something away, it comes out of my pocket, your pocket, everybody's pocket. They don't give anything away because they can't, Melody. They don't have anything to give away. No. They take it from us and give it to other people, as you said. But I watch this guy get up there, and people are so tickled. Man, he's really what he's doing. If everybody gets a dangerous vaccine, and they're still pushing the vaccines hard and really pushing them hard here in this state even, and people are eating it up. I'm sitting back, not everybody, I'm sure, but I get so aggravated because he's taking my money that I did not want to give him in the first place and bribing people in this state to get a dangerous vaccine. Should that not make us angry?
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, that's stealing from me to give somebody else for something I don't believe in. So that's like property taxes. Go support public schools. My boy went to Christian schools. I don't like public schools. But I had to pay it anyway. And Thomas Jefferson said something along the lines that when they tax you to make pay for something you don't believe in, that's the worst kind of tyranny. And it is, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
So I guess we'll move on. I guess start on that. But folks, I'm just trying to make common sense to you, and I hope you understand what I'm saying. I'm not mad at anybody. I'm frustrated. Well, I think about this. I am a little bit upset because we let it get this far already. It does bother me. It does. Now, this is something we need to consider. Maybe perhaps two. U.S. Navy's deadliest new subs are hobbled because it can't get spare parts. Now, that's a powerful Navy. We can defend ourselves, but our ships don't work. The U.S. Navy has swapped more than 1,600 parts among its new Virginia-class submarines since 2013 to ease maintenance bottlenecks and components that are supposed to last 33 years wear out decades sooner. Gosh! And we probably get most of the parts from China. Parts are being shuttled regularly fast attack submarines so that vessels in the $166 billion class built by General Dynamics Corporation in Huntington Ingalls Industries Incorporated can return to operations according to data from the Naval Sea Systems Command and Congressional Budget Office. The 48-ship Virginia class is the pillar of the Navy's undersea strategy into the second half of the 21st century to counter China's growing surface fleet with increasing firepower in each succeeding model, or block. The subs can stalk undersea adversaries with torpedoes, strike surface vessels, or attack land targets with Tomahawk cruise missiles while staying in, on patrol for months. The parts problem is a readiness issue that goes with the overall concern that the Navy is not investing enough in maintenance, supply chains, and shipyard infrastructure, said Brian Clark, a former in that article, quits right there. But we're building the fleet up to defend ourselves in China, and Melody, I bet you a dollar to a donut that we're getting a lot of these parts from China.
Oh, I'm sure. China. Oh, or any other Asian country that doesn't have the same quality.
We're depending on the ones we're going to fight to supply us with the parts we need to keep her weapons working. Duh, that's smart. But it's cheaper. Why am I laughing? It's insane.
I know it is.
It's insane. You know, and we still think somebody's in charge. Well, somebody's in charge, but it's not us. Okay, just put it that way. Oh my goodness gracious! I know people out there probably listening to us thinking, "Man, he's insane," and I probably am insane, but I'm enjoying it. No, but it's just ridiculous. We turn more and more of our necessities, our needs for our necessities, over to other people to supply for us, and we cry when we don't get them, and they keep billing us for more of them out of our pocket, and we don't see the results of it. I'm trying to get this click, because we know that the budget for the national defense is outstandingly high. We're paying it to our enemies to produce for us. How we can defend ourselves against him. Now, is that really what we should be doing as a people? I don't think so. And to show you how personal it's getting, and I've known this for years, I've been telling people this is going to happen if you don't watch out. Texas power companies remotely raise temperatures on people using their smart thermostats. Now, folks, the smart meters, smart thermostats are all linked to a major hub, and they will control your electricity. They will control your air conditioning, your heat. This is happening already. I just read it to you. Power companies in Texas are remotely raising temperatures inside of some customers' homes amid the state's ongoing energy shortage. Houston resident Brandon English, whose home has an internet-connected smart thermostat installed, was shocked to learn of the practice after his wife and infant daughter woke up sweating. Speaking with KHOU 11, English stated that that despite his wife turning down the thermotemperature before taking a nap with their three-year-old child, the temperature in their home rose significantly. They'd been asleep long enough that the house had already gotten to 78 degrees, English said, so they woke up sweating. English, who expressed concerns over the potential for his young child to overheat and dehydrate, said it wasn't long after that his wife received a text alert, noting that his thermostat had been remotely altered during a three-hour energy-saving event. That's just more control. Of course, my question would be, is it how did they survive that air conditioning 100 years ago? Obviously, they did. But this is different times. People aren't quite as tough as they used to be in a lot of ways. But now this just showed more control. Something we cannot control. The power company said, we're going to cut your power. Folks, they're going to cut your power. What are you going to do? Oh, what you need to do is get your backup somehow and prepare for what's coming. And that starts with finances, food, and other things that you know that you're going to have to survive when this does come apart, and it's going to come apart. Go ahead, Melody.
And, you know, we're so conditioned. I mean, they know how to get the. They just continue to condition. We've heard coming out of California over the summers with their bad fires that they've been having. That you know, the people are getting used to the brownouts. People are getting used to the pullbacks in the power. And we saw the same thing in Texas this winter. They pulled back. You know, whether it's poor infrastructure or by design, it's probably both. So it's, you know, and you're going to put more. When you get all these, you know, we go green and everything goes electric. we already have a system that's ready to, that's not functioning properly. So it's just, it's nuts. Crazy.
Well, you know, it's like you've heard the old saying, how do you eat an elephant? one bite at a time. How do you condition people? A little bit at a time, right?
A little bit at a time, yep.
It's called creeping incrementalism.
Yep.
We get accustomed to it.
Yep.
So, you know, it's just the way it is. It goes with morality also. I used to make my grandma blush. We laugh at today.
True.
So that's just what it is. That's what it is. But now, here's something I wouldn't have thought of. Thieves have been stealing truckloads of nuts, police say. The latest heist was 42,000 pounds of pistachios. All right, Millie, what'd you do with them?
I'm hiding them.
I reckon you must have a big elephant. As Touchstone Potassium Company ran through its routine audit earlier this month, something wasn't adding up. More than 42,000 pounds of pistachios had vanished. The company soon listed the sheriff's office in Tulare County, California, to help. And on Saturday, law enforcement officials said they had found the missing nuts and arrested the thief. Police said the culprit, Alberto Montemayor, 34, was hiding the pistachios in a tractor parked in a nearby parking lot, a tractor trailer parked in a nearby parking lot, and then repackaging them to sell. The chase is just the latest heist of potassio nuts in Central California, where the nuts were a $5.2 billion economic engine tied to more than 47,000 jobs last year, according to studies commissioned by the industry. Late August, the Tulare County Sheriff's Office arrested a 23-year-old man for allegedly stealing two trucks full of potassios valued at $294,000. Wow. I wouldn't have thunk it. One never thought somebody was stealing trucks full of nuts.
But that's a pretty smart crook.
It really is. I mean, can you imagine 42,000 pounds of nuts he's going to repackage and sell them a package at a time? I'd say that's a lifetime job, wouldn't you?
I don't know. profitable one.
I mean, we're laughing about this. I know it isn't funny, but it's just absurd. Okay. But okay, 42,000 pounds of nuts is a lot of nuts to try to hide. He must have a lot of squirrels like him a lot too, probably.
Yeah, where do you hide that? Yeah,
it's really amazing. So anyway, and now back to something a little more serious, because I think this is also absurd. College to charge unvaccinated students $1,500 health and safety fee. Starting fall 2021. Rhodes College will charge unvaccinated students $1,500 per semester to cover the cost of mandatory testing. Now, on the good side of that, Arizona governor said that he's not going to let the schools do that in his state. Now, state college, they're not going to do anything. They won't be vaccinated if they don't want to be. So there's some things coming in the good side also. But the school located in Memphis, Tennessee, announced a policy on June 8th. Rhodes College will require a COVID-19 vaccine for all students, staff, and faculty on campus after the Food and Drug Administration formally approves the vaccines, which, by the way, it hasn't done yet. As of this writing, the school strongly encourages vaccination. Students who choose not to receive the vaccine can file a medical or religious vaccine exemption before the start of this fall semester. Non-vaccinated students will also be required to undergo a weekly COVID testing. So, there you go.
You know, I was just reading where the Princess Cruise Lines, I guess, now got the okay that they're going to start sailing. And it's going to be for people with vaccines only. And they keep saying that they're following the CDC guidelines. Well, I don't think the CDC guidelines dictate businesses that everybody has to be vaccinated.
It doesn't.
No.
It doesn't.
But as soon as they say, oh, well, we're following the CDC guidelines. Well, no, you're not. Because the CDC doesn't say that.
No, it does not. And on the other hand, some airlines are saying they're not going to take vaccinated people on their planes. And you look up for yourself, folks. I don't remember the details on it. But they're not going to have vaccinated people on the plane because they said it spreads the disease. So this is insanity, and it's causing more and more chaos. And that's exactly what they're planning for, wasn't it?
Plan for something.
And it certainly has worked. Just think of them. Seriously, the 4 million businessmen have not been in this country, and they're coming back. I know the price of news coming in, but that's a lot of people hurting. And now I would assume that the unemployment benefits are going to run out pretty soon. When would this show up on the jobs numbers? I know their business is hard, like you said, service industries, and they're paying better money now. But it's really hard to raise a family shoving hamburgers. You know, it really is.
We're heading into our break. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
So things fall apart. Do you know how to defend yourself using a Coupaton, pepper gas spray, or Taekwondo techniques? After spike training, you will. What about how to enter a securely locked installation or vehicle? After spike training, you will. What about street confrontation shooting, or how to organize the virtually untrained into force multipliers, or caching techniques to secure valuable and sensitive items on your person, within structures, and in the field, or combat assault repelling, or instinctive shooting, or something as simple as knot tying and rope making? Well, after spike training, you will. And I have only mentioned a few of the subjects covered only up to phase 6. Go to bogrites.us, that's bogrites.us, or avrn.tv to arrange to receive your 12 phases of spike training. Single phase downloads are also available on the site.
But he's fighting men, right? Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cederstrom. I'm here, Pastor Butch Paul. And what do you have for us next, Butch?
Melody, I have to apologize if I laugh so much through this, but some of these stories seem so ridiculous. And so nonsensical, but they're really real. Folks, we're not making any of these things up. These are all real. And there are times I got to laugh. Either you don't watch it, I break down and bawl because everything's insane, but you got to laugh once in a while. On the positive side of something, though, as lumber prices fall, the threat of inflation loses its bite. It does in lumber, perhaps, but it's not happening anywhere else. From sawmills to store shelves to your own hammer swings, lumber can tell you a lot about what's going on in the economy right now. Lumber prices soared over the past year, frustrating would-be pandemic do-it-yourselfers, jacking up the cost of new homes, and serving as a compelling talking point in the debate over whether government's stimulus efforts risk the return of the 1970s-style inflation. If you weren't alive in 1970, folks, inflation back then was something else, even to the point that the president put on price freezes. He couldn't raise prices. But anyway, the housing and renovation boom drove insatiable demand for lumber, even as the pandemic idle mills that had already been slowed by anemic construction sector since the 2008 financial crisis. Lumber futures surged to unprecedented heights, peaked at more than $1,600 per thousand board feet in early May. That's out of sight. But since then, the price of those same plywood sheets and pressure-treated planks have tumbled as mills restarted or ramped up production, and some customers put off their purchases until prices come down. So that's a good thing, I suppose, the price of lumber is coming down. And it is good. That is a good thing. But that's only one sector of the economy that's maybe price dropping on. I promise you, folks, you go out and look into the stores and other places, prices are not dropping. I had to buy some feed today, Melody, for a few head of cattle. What I paid $8.25 for, I believe it was last year, for 50 pound is now $11.79 or $29 a pound. So it's went up $3 since last year. Now that adds cost to feeding cattle, doesn't it?
It certainly does.
So when people sell their beef, I guess I can do with the price of beef. You've got to raise the prices, cover the cost. The folks said, maybe I'm glad the lumber price is going down. I really mean that. I am. But it's just, it isn't affecting other parts of the sector yet. That with the droughts in Brazil and in America, and the floods in America too, but the droughts right now in the Midwest and up in the West, our crops are literally dying. Food substance crops, plus for cattle and for livestock, the prices are going to go up. That means the price of food is going to go up. You better supply yourself with some storable food. Even if you don't need it this year, or even next year, you can always eat it the year after that. Or give it to your family to eat when they want something. My goodness, people, this is common sense. The Bible talks about the ants storing up for the winter. And the Bible said, go to the ant, you sluggard. That means you're a lazy man. The ants prepare themselves for hard times. We need to do the same thing. So,
I just want to say to the one thing. He says, even if we don't use the food this year or next year, you know, we should be thankful that we don't have to use the things that we do in order to protect, whether we protect our finances, whether we protect the food, or whether it sits there in the basement. We should be thankful.
Very thankful.
That things haven't gotten to the point where we do need it.
Absolutely.
And it allows us to continue to accumulate and to get our things in order. And so, yes, we need to be thankful.
You know, if somebody would buy store food, and I've had some now for years, and it lasts for 25, 30 years, so it's not going to go to ruin. But if you bought it 10 years ago, think how much this went up in price in 10 years, Melody. What a good investment it was. Doesn't it make good sense to you?
Mm-hmm.
It does. It's almost like putting back gold and silver. It goes up in price, folks. As inflation goes up, that food stays the same price. Already paid for it. Think about those things. Everyone is missing Trump and really upset, and I do not like Biden. I have to say that he's worse than Trump in many ways. I've said that right up front. But Trump reportedly considered sending COVID-infected American tourists to Guantanamo. Now, I'm not making this up. This is the Washington Post. Former President Donald Trump, early in the COVID-19 pandemic, floated the idea of sending infected American tourists to the Guantanamo Bay Naval Base in Cuba, according to an excerpt from an upcoming book which adds new detail to the behind-the-scenes chaos of the Trump administration's controversial pandemic response. Nightmare scenario inside the Trump administration response to a pandemic that changed history, a book from two Washington Post journalists, details a February 2020 meeting in which Trump shocked aides with suggestion and an excerpt published in the newspaper Monday, which says it would be revealed Monday in the paper. So he wanted to send the American tourists to Guantanamo if they're infected with the virus. That is unthinkable. Even for Trump, it's unthinkable. Where did he come up with that idea?
Well, again, the Washington Post is owned by Bezos. So and there is a lot of crazy reporting out there. But who knows? I mean, things were pretty crazy at that point in time. And we really didn't know how it was going to be, you know, how we were going to be affected by it. But, you know, one thing I will say, you know, and it is true, there's a lot of things that he did do, he didn't get credit for. But, and he was right. You know.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. Mm-hmm. And different topic, but interesting nonetheless. Florida Governor DeSantis sending law enforcement personnel to aid Texas and Arizona with border crisis. This is amazing. DeSantis said this directive was a response to requests from Arizona and Governor Doug Ducey and Texas Governor Greg Abbott. So they're asking for other states to send them help, folks. That's how bad it is on the border. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis said Wednesday that several of the state's law enforcement agencies will send personnel to Texas and Arizona to aid local authorities in addressing an immigration crisis at the southern border. DeSantis said the directive was a response to requests from Arizona Governor Doug Ducey, Texas Governor Greg Abbott, who asked other governors, not just Florida folks, other states, early this month to send all available law enforcement resources. Republican governors have accused the Biden administration of failing to adequately address the crisis, which has resulted in increased drug smuggling and instances of human trafficking. America's border security crisis impacts every state and every American, DeSantis said in a statement. The Biden administration ended policies implemented by President Trump that were curbing illegal immigration, securing our border, and keeping Americans safe. Governor Abbott's and Ducey's recently sent out a call for help to every state in the nation, needing additional law enforcement, command power, and other resources to aid with border security. I'm proud to announce today that the state of Florida is answering the call. Florida has your back, he added. Good for him. Mm-hmm. Good for him. But do you ever think you see a day when other states have to cry out to other states to send down law enforcement to seal the border?
Wow.
Gee. And that's one thing that Trump did slow down quite a bit. And, of course, he caught a lot of flack over it, to say the least.
Yep.
But he did slow it down. Another one on DeSantis. Remember he talked a while back, we'd like to see him run for president. We mentioned that somebody talked about somebody about that. He seemed like a decent guy, at least a decent candidate to run. Conservative Conference 2024 straw poll winner, Donald Trump. No, wait, Ron DeSantis.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah. So at the Western Conservative Summit this weekend, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis beat former President Donald Trump in the presidential preference straw poll. DeSantis just edged up Trump in a poll conducted by the Centennial Institute at their event. The approval poll asked participants to select each potential candidate they would approve of for president in 2024. Because each participant can choose multiple answers, the end results show who is popular among the most people and so on. The other candidates in the top five are Senator Ted Cruz at number three, former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, number four, now, South Carolina Senator Tim Scott, number five. Out of those five, I say that I would definitely prefer DeSantis. But I just thought I'd share that with you.
Yeah, this morning I was watching CNBC, and I saw the Maryland Governor Hogan being interviewed on there. And I'm just thinking, because there was always a lot of chatter that, you know, he'd be running in 2024. And so I think if the more we see of him and so forth, I think we'll begin to. But I don't think he's got the same as DeSantis, because I would choose DeSantis over Hogan, too.
You know, and DeSantis, he may have an alternative motives for doing these things. Maybe he does think about running for president. You never know. That could be part of it. But nonetheless, mm-hmm. He's done a lot of right things for Florida, that's for sure.
He did.
And Kristi Noem, Dakota, both have done right things for the states.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I really have. So, you know, I have nothing against a woman. I prefer a man because that's, I think, it's the way it should be. But nonetheless, we have very few men to qualify for anything anymore. And Kristi Noem certainly has showed her ability and her determination to do what she thinks best for the people of the state. And she made a difference out there. And she's overlooked. The news media does not talk about what the difference. Their state suffered no more than the other state with the pandemic. No, they suffered no more than any rest of them, and they didn't close anything down. I say hooray for them.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
You know, so, but that's never brought up. She did very well for her state. The people of the state, I'm sure, realize that. But the nation as a whole was never mentioned what a good job she did to preserve her state and this economy through all this mess. I'd like to shake her hand and thank you for doing that for South Dakota. I'm not from South Dakota, but I'm proud of what she's done. I really am. Now, back to more liberal areas. Downtown Chicago emerges from pandemic hobbled by crime wave. Folks, this is the infrastructure of the nation, not just physically, but morally, is deteriorating quickly. Businesses in downtown Chicago that survived the pandemic-related economic slump and two spasms of looting last summer should be ecstatic with Monday's reopening of America's third largest city. Yet many are battling a new hardship, a surge in crime that is keeping customers and their money away. "I've never felt more unsafe than I do now," said Steve Burrows, a 48-year-old attorney who has called Chicago home his entire life. "I work downtown, so I'm here every day during the day, but I won't come down here at night or on the weekend." That's sad, Melody. That's sad. If the people like Burroughs, suburbanites, and the millions of tourists who normally visit a lakefront city stay away, Chicago's businesses will feel the impact as many are still trying to emerge from the tumult of the last 16 months. And on top of that, get this in before the time's up, the rotting core of the Big Apple. How iconic Washington Square Park had become a no-go zone for law-abiding locals after dark amid a string of overnight raves which have descend into chaotic violence. People, this is so sad. In our own homes, in our own cities, it's not safe to walk down to a public park or go downtown to a man's office. You don't think the nation's falling apart in any way possible? People living near New York City's Washington Square Park say they now avoid it after dark amid fears of violence. The landmark Manhattan Park has been plagued by late-night raves, which often descend into chaos. On Friday, a woman was trampled by terrified crowds trying to flee a man armed with a knife, large knife, and a taser. Daily Mail, and that's another thing, is the fear of the people in the people and destroy the people. DailyMail.com spoke to park visitors Saturday afternoon, less than 24 hours after the incident. Residents and nearby business owners have demanded police step up their enforcement of a midnight curfew, but they won't do away with the police. Figure it out. There have been claims of prostitution, public sex acts, and hard drugs, and people carrying weapons. Why would they not carry weapons? I want a weapon if I lived in that place. That's common sense. Don't blame it on the weapons. People want to defend themselves. Blame on a decaying society that has become so liberal they don't want what's right and wrong anymore. Any comments, Melody, before I get too raved up on that?
No, and you know, it's like, where are the people in the city that is putting up with it? I mean, why are these people just sitting back and, you know, it's, hey, it's time to change those politicians. You know, but I mean, look who's running. You know, so are they going to do any better? Yeah. Who knows? But
it really is, and I'm saying this out of pure pain in my heart for it, and disgust also, that our own cities have become slums and run by drug lords, unsafe for good people to live in. That is a sign of a dying nation, Melody. It is. Whenever the evil overcomes the good in a nation because people and they haven't stood up and demanded what's right, it's more or less the people's fault, but it still breaks your heart.
It does.
People have been preparing themselves in every way they can because things are going to get really nasty. I mean, yes. Colorado just passed 3 more gun control laws so they had a shooting. On and on it goes.
And it's not going to stop.
No, it's not. No, it's not.
Think about the only thing that's going to stop is this program, Butch.
Yeah, I know. Time's
for
up.
For the day, anyway.
It's up. It's been fun, though. I've enjoyed it. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Yes. Thanks for listening.
Well, welcome back. We missed you, and we'll be back tomorrow. So until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
I work all night, I work all day, and pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? Still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad. In my dreams, I have a plan. If I got to be a wealthy man, I would have to work it all. I'd fool around and have a ball.
Broadcasting to the U.S. and around the world by way of Clear Digital Audio. 22,500 miles above the planet. This is the Global Star Radio Network.
absent